Because honestly,
sorry. Sorry.
It never fails to scare me. But this is going back to what I was saying. This, I woke up today at 4 a.m. praying this prayer, praying that God would give us a new revelation. There are two things today that we're going to share and we're going to discuss together. If we really, if God really opens our eyes to those two, you know, pieces of truth or those two facts, I know our spiritual lives are going to be different. Not just ours, but people around us, people around us, their lives are going to be different because we're going to act different. We're going to live different. So today, in Jesus' name, I double down on that prayer with Pastor Mike. I agree with you that God is going to open our spiritual eyes today. The last couple of weeks, we talked about the plan of work, you know, and Nehemiah was so brave and so confident and, you know, had the courage to say, we have some low points. We have some areas where we need help, you know, and we need to pay attention to those areas. Otherwise, the enemy is going to come and attack us there. It's okay. We're a work in progress. Okay. There is no shame in that. The shame is that we cover and shove things under the rug and wait for the enemy to expose our weaknesses by his plans. But it's not at all shameful to come before a living and loving God to expose our weaknesses and ask for help. It is not at all shameful to come before my brothers and sisters and expose our weaknesses and say, I need help in this area, because we're all in this fight together. We're all helping one another. You know, God said to Abraham, I will bless you so you can live a good life. No, he said, I will bless you and you will be a blessing. So as God is blessing us, as God is blessing you with some strength, as God is blessing you with some wisdom, you're going to come back and bless me. And I know that you will. You know, I know you're not going to judge me. I know you're not going to look down on me. I know that the same God who forgave your sins, the same God who lifted you up when you were down, the same God who encouraged you when you were afraid or you had fear, the same God who comforted you is the same God that will use that to, you know, to you, for you to use it in my life. Nehemiah was brave. And I pray that we can have that courage and that we would address those low points. And then they started working in a different way, started working where people were working, building, but at the same time, they're soldiers. They're ready to fight. You know, they're not scared of the enemy. They're not going to, you know, just hide behind anything. No, they're ready to fight. If you want to fight, we'll give you a fight, you know, but that's not going to stop our building process. And, you know, and we discussed this last time, and I pray that this would be one of the things that God would open our eyes to, that even if the work of the building of the wall is slowing down a little bit because now half of the men are working and half are guarding, or the men that are working are only working with one hand and the other hand is holding a spear, even though the process of the building might be slower, but something else is being completed. The full picture of a nation with an army, a full picture of a nation that helps each other, people that love each other, that I got your back. I know you're building. I know you're building for me and for my family. I know you're studying for me. I know you're preaching for me. I know you're praying for me. I know you're fasting for me. I know you're doing all of that for me and for my family. And I got your back in another way. You know, God is not interested in building walls and buildings and stuff like that. God was more interested in building the nation. You know, God is not interested in building a huge mega church. He is interested in building true worshipers. That's what God is interested in. You know, so with my physical eye, I might look at the work and say, oh no, this is going to take forever. But God is working in different areas. It's not just one area. God is working on so many things. I was just sharing this with Pastor Albert and Philip before the meeting. Philip taught me a thing about construction. When you're trying to install something, and let's say that you have a board that has four, you know, screws, right? So what I would do usually is get the first screw and just go all the way in, right? That's what I would do. But that creates a little bit of unevenness. That's a word. I'm looking at you so you can help me. That would create something that's uneven. But what he said, no, you just got to go in a little bit here, a little bit in there, a little bit in here, a little bit there. It creates balance. So when you're ready to push through, when you're ready to get the whole board, so every area is balanced with the other one. See, God does that in our spiritual life. God does that in our families. God does that in our churches. God does that in our ministries. But sometimes I want to do what I want to do, where I just want this area that I am so focused on. I just want to go with the drill so hard to get it over with. But that's going to create unevenness, if that's a word, in the other areas. See, God here, by allowing this to happen, nothing happened to them. See, the enemy wanted to put them in fear, just like the enemy wanted to put you and me in fear. He wants us to live in fear, just like what they said. They would not know what's going to hit them or where it's going to hit them. That's what he wants to know. Nothing hit them. No one attacked them, you know. But at the same time, God allowed this to create that new chemistry to build an army within the builders. I pray today that our church and our community, that we would start building in so many different ways. You know, that we would start opening, that God would open our eyes, that he's building, he is working in different ways. Not only the ways that I am focused on, and not only the ways that you are focused on. Sorry, this was a very long introduction, but it was just on my heart. Then today we're going to start from verse 19, and it says, "Then I said to the nobles, the rulers, and the rest of the people, the work is great and extensive, and we are separated far from one another on the wall." This is Nehemiah talking to the nobles, the rulers, and the rest of the people. Everyone needs to hear this message. There is a lot of work to do. It's great, and we all need to be involved. But be careful, because we are separated far from one another, because the work is great and extensive. That's the nature of the work. But be careful with that separation, and we're going to discuss this. However, wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, so now we have to not just have our hands working and our eyes working, watching, but we need to have attentive ears, because there will be the sound of the trumpet. And when you hear the sound of the rally to us, our God will fight for us. Verse 21. "So we labored in the work, and half of the men held the spears from daybreak until the stars appeared." That means from day all the way to the night. "At the same time, I also said to the people, let each man and his servant stay at night and in Jerusalem, that they may be our guard by night." So those who worked all day at night, all day in the building, and others were helping them, now they're becoming guards at night. Okay, guard by night and a working party by day. Verse 23, "So neither I, my brethren, my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me took off our clothes." They were ready, except that everyone took them off for washing. This part is full of meat, but also it needs that touch from God. No matter what we can say today, it's not going to make any sense. It will be forgotten in 5 minutes without a new revelation from God. So let's start with the first verse. "Then I said to the nobles, the rulers, and the rest of the people." And I was going to go straight to the work is extensive and, you know, and the work is great and extensive. But I could not help but wake up at 4 a.m. this morning thinking about these two words. "Then I said to the nobles, the rulers, and the rest of the people." If you go back to Nehemiah chapter 1, do you guys remember? Nehemiah chapter 1, when the people came to Nehemiah, when he was back, you know, home at his hometown, When they came to him and he asked, how is Jerusalem? They said, the city is ruined. And listen to this. They said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. They were in great trouble and disgrace. But once Nehemiah got there and they started working for God, we are now introduced to some people with new titles called nobles, rulers, builders, officers, blacksmith. They are starting to shape up to be, you know, like a real country, like real people with destiny. But the word noble and honor really stopped me this morning, because away from doing God's work, away from living God's purpose, there is absolutely no honor or nobility. See, this world forces us or tries to convince us to be noble, to be famous, to be valued, to be respected. We have to have certain things. We have to own certain things. We have to live in certain areas. We have to have these many followers. This is what would give us nobility. This what would give us honor. This what would give us respect. These people knew nothing about respect, nobility, or honor when the city was ruined, when the life was, when they gave in to the fact that this is how we're going to live. We're going to live in ruins and burnt city and destruction. But as soon as we started working with God, as soon as they put their hands into the work, now we're being introduced to these words. I'm gonna pray right now, truly pray, because I want us to stop at this point for a few seconds, and please pray with me. If you want to close your eyes, you can. If you don't, that's fine. But please pray with me that God would open your eyes, that God would give you a revelation that honor and nobility are waiting for you, that you are worth a lot more than what this world is offering and what the world is trying to convince you. A kind word that you share with someone, a verse that you share with someone, a Bible study you run with your family, a prayer you say with someone, this to God is a lot more than those who are making millions and billions of dollars. You have so much power in you, you have no idea. You have so much honor and nobility waiting for you that you can take from, that you and I are not using. They've been lying to us. Those celebrities, those famous people, they have been lying to us over and over and over. They've been giving us false advertising. They think they have the wisdom. They think they have the fame. They think have, and look at their lives. Look how messed up their lives are. It's no honor in the way they're living. But someone who puts his hand in the work of God, someone who hands a cup of water to someone who's thirsty, someone who greets a child, someone who prays for a widow, someone who just sends a quick text or email, someone who starts doing the work of God will truly get to that place of nobility and honor. We all have it. It's available for all of us. You know why? Because it's by the Spirit of God. It's God's work. I will turn from whatever it is that I do daily to an ambassador of Christ within seconds. The moment I decide to open my mouth, the moment I decide to stretch my hand to pray for someone, the moment I decide to bless someone, the moment I decide to do any work from God, instantly I turn into an ambassador of Christ. That I am representing the mighty God. Let this be a revelation for us today. Truly, let this be a revelation to us today. Do you want your family to be proud of you? Do you want your children to be proud of you? You know, one of my biggest fears in life is that I would disappoint Dina and the kids. Really. However, I had this whole thing all twisted for a long time. I just want to give them the house. I want to make them happy. I want to give them things. But after God opened my eyes, the only work that will remain is the work that we do for the kingdom of God. If I want to make my children proud, if I want to make my wife proud, I need to put my hand in the work of God. You might look at yourself today, just like I was looking at myself, like, I got nothing. That's wonderful. That's a great place to start, that you have nothing. Because God, just all he wants are just empty hands that he can fill. The problem starts when we think that we have something. Lord, all I have is empty hands. He wants those empty hands. And he's going to fill them with what he has for those who need it the most. You can be a blessing today. Just send a text to someone. You can be a noble person today. You can be a ruler today. You can have that honor today. Send a text to someone. Send a quick prayer. Tomorrow morning, bring coffee to someone and say, hey, I just wanted to bless your day. You know, I wanted to give you something. You don't know what these things will mean to someone. This could start a conversation. Share a testimony with someone. Share how God has been good to you. Share how God has been blessing you and how God had taken you from one thing to another when all doors were shut and God opened the doors again. Sorry that I took a little bit longer on this, but it woke me up at 4 a.m., you know? So that tells you how much passion I have about this part and how God spoke to me personally. And I wish and I really hope that I was able to communicate it to you. I know I'm not the greatest communicator, but I am completely depending on God and relying on God and the Holy Spirit to relay this message to you, that it will dwell in your heart and you will claim it for you and your family and for your friends and for everyone, that today you will be called noble. You will be called a ruler. That today you will claim the victories and the space that God has for you. I think Pastor Albert had something about Luke 12:15. If you can share it with us so I can take a little break.
Absolutely. Luke 12:15 says, then Jesus said to them, beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. I think you nailed it, Assam, when you're saying that we are bombarded with everything and everyone around us telling us that our life is only valuable when we have certain things or have acquired many, many things. But looking at the practical people around us who have acquired many things and their life doesn't necessarily consist, and Jesus tells us exactly just that. Nobility doesn't come from how much my bank account is worth or the kind of home that I'm living in. Nobility comes from whom I'm connected to and how I'm willing to be obedient to serve as he directs each of us.
Amen. Thank you. On a very side note, remember when I shared in church 2 weeks ago about Dina and her like cucumber and mint water? I just needed a cup of water, just regular cup of water. And this is like, it has like 2 pounds of cucumbers and like 5 pounds of mint. Like, that's not water. Just get me regular water. Sorry. I just needed a sip of water.
What I have next to me.
And then he goes on to say that the work is great and extensive. And it really takes a special touch from God, that we can see that there is great work around us. Jesus himself, our Lord and Savior, told the disciples that the harvest is great. Just pray to the Father to send what? To send the laborers. Now, if you go back just a few months before, the same work was there, but no one realized it because they didn't have Nehemiah. They didn't have someone to tell them there is work that needs to be done. We need to fight for our kids and children. We have low points. We have holes. We have burned walls. We have burnt city. They didn't see it. And I pray today that we would see the need around us. there is a great need. There is an extensive work around us. My prayer is that we would be the ones that are pointing. We would be that voice that points out that there is great work around us, and that we are personally here convinced that there is work around us. You know, when I pray for my children, I pray for Dino, and I pray for you guys. I woke up this morning and I prayed, by the way, for every single one of you by name, because I learned what Pastor Albert said Sunday: talk to God about people before you talk to people about God. So I decided this morning to wake up, actually yesterday and the day before as well, I decided to wake up and pray for every single one of you, you know. And as I was praying for Pastor Mike, I mean, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. No, I'm not talking about your hair. When I was praying for myself, I was like, oh man, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. I really hope that my brothers and sisters at church are praying for me. When I'm praying for my kids and I see the attacks around them, when I see the society we live in, I realize that the work is great and extensive. But you know what? God is able, and God is greater than any obstacles that we will ever have. So everyone is working, everyone is doing their own thing, but be careful. Be careful, because we are separated far from one another on the wall. Everyone is doing their work, but we are separated. And there is a danger in separation. And we're going to dwell here, or we're going to stay here for a few minutes to discuss that together. And this is an open dialogue. So we're going to discuss it together to help one another. Why is separation so dangerous? That's a question. Can I have some of your disgusting water, please? She took the water away. Why is separation so dangerous?
So when you mean separation, are we talking about distance? Are we talking about different levels in people's spiritual life, different giftings? What specifically are we going to be talking about as far as being specific and not so much in generality?
Okay, well, let's take for example this. So they're all working together and they know that there's an enemy waiting for them, but the wall is huge, and then you have a small group working by themselves, okay? And if we're gonna I'm trying to bring this into a practical way. So I am doing what I'm doing. I'm going to work, I'm doing this, I'm all of that. I have a calling from God. Is that enough? That's what we're trying to get to. Is that enough, or do I need to be part of a group? You know, or do I need to be part of something? Do I need to be accountable to someone? Or am I just saying, I'm just doing my work, leave me alone?
So when you say separation, mm-hmm. are you making inference to the individuality of each person? And that's what I'm trying to figure out here. When you say there's separation between us, I still don't understand the specific of separation between us. And I'm just, maybe I'm not getting it.
When I see my life is not being covered or protected, or somebody looking at it for my blind spots, then I am in some way separated for whatever reason. And the various examples, as you mentioned, could be any of those things, spiritually speaking, emotionally speaking, whatever the case may be. If there's a level of isolation for various reasons, then that leaves a place of danger. And that is something that needs to be looked at and addressed. Are we on the same page, Hassan?
Yeah.
So in other words, we're talking about group type rather than individual type. Is that where this is going?
I'm not sure I understand the question, but
And that's what I'm trying to make sense when y'all are saying about separation. I still can't connect the dots. Forgive me.
Just like there's a gap in the wall, and everybody's doing work in front of their own home, which is what they should be doing, but there's still a ways between each of the segments of the wall. And so sometimes our lives can be individual and not so connected to other people. And so that becomes a dangerous thing. So for example, when Elijah, the prophet, if I can go there, Azam.
Yes,
when Elijah, the prophet, lived a very individual kind of life. He was very isolated. And although he was a powerful man, one letter by the queen sent him running because he lived in isolation. And that is a dangerous thing. And by the way, we can be in the middle of the church. We can be surrounded by 100 people. And we're still living in isolation. Why? Because I haven't opened my life to anyone. And what I say by opening my life is sharing what's happening with me on a personal level and allowing people to know what's happening with me on a personal level. If that isn't happening, then I am still living in isolation, even though I could be around a lot of people. And so that can be a very, very dangerous thing. Go ahead, Asam.
No, I'm not sure if Brother Larry understood the question or not yet. So it's what Pastor Albert is saying, that we're together. Everyone is doing what they're supposed to do. You know, I know that God gave me this calling, or God gave you this calling, but is that enough? Or do we need to still be part of the group, be accountable for the group? Because I know the enemy wants to separate us, wants to catch us on our own. If you look at Peter, for example, not just Elijah, but like these are the examples that we were talking about. If you look at Peter is doing great when he's around the disciples, around Jesus, but take him by himself, put him in the middle of that group of people, just like warming up their hands and stuff like that. He didn't have the support or the courage that he would have when he had Jesus and the disciples around him. Just a few minutes ago, he was ready to fight. He grabbed his sword and I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to go. But a few minutes later, by himself, he failed. You know, you look at Samson, when he separated himself from where he is supposed to be and kept going to the land of the Palestinians or whatever, you look what happened to his life. So many other examples in the Bible where people were separated. You know, when Goliath, when the Palestinians are trying to fight, you know, the Israelites, Goliath doesn't want this fight to be army against army. He just wants one man against him. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about, the danger of separation. You know, and a lot of times we find excuses for these separations. Hey, I'm doing my thing. I'm working. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. That's great. I'm glad you're doing that. But there has to be that the body work. My hand here cannot go on its own and say, I'm just going to do my own work on my, you know, I can't. You have to be, and we have to be connected to a group. And Nehemiah realized that there are differences. People are working in different areas. People are working in different, you know, on different jobs. He did not want that separation to be their weakness. Because when the enemy attacks, remember, the enemy is going to come with a full army. He's not going to wait for us to gather as a group and then to fight us. No, he wants to catch someone by himself. He wants to catch someone by herself to throw his attacks at. So does that make sense, or still not there yet?
It does make sense that the separation of a group that should be grouped together is not functioning together. There has to be some connectivity, something that connects the group as a whole as well, right? Now let's take, for example, and this has been a burden for the past 6 months for the body of Arise. Body ministry, to me, has been pretty heavy in my heart. My question is, what we as leaders are going to do to accommodate for that body ministry? We've seen the move of the Holy Spirit come upon us during worship. He gave us a taste of what real unity and moving with the Holy Spirit is. How would we be able to accommodate the body ministry? I know that there's altar calls that is being proclaimed, but for some reason, the breakthrough has not come yet. So from my perspective, and this is my opinion, I'm not casting any judgment or anything. To me, until we see the fulfillment of that burden by having body ministry, then we can see what else is in store around the corner. And once again, forgive me if I'm trying to be too correct here. But if there is a goal that God is setting for us to accomplish, I don't think he's going to move us on to the next point. Does that make sense? In other words, until we complete what God has given us the task to complete, that's favorable to God, then we continue on to the next level of glory, because he takes us from glory to glory. Does that make sense? Or did I lose everybody?
I certainly appreciate the fact that God's given you that burden for the body to function together and to function as a unit and to see the breakthrough happening together. But that's going to be something that God does supernaturally. It's not something that man can make. It's something that only God can do. And it comes with a key verse here in this chapter when it refers to the sound of the trumpet, which I think Assam's going to touch on here in just a second, because it's a supernaturally natural thing that happens. It's not just something that I will to happen or I desire to happen, even though I can have that desire, because we certainly do have that desire. We want to see everybody doing what God's called them to do and for this cohesion to function together, but we can't fabricate that. So if you wouldn't mind, Assam, touching on the next part here about hearing the sound of the trumpet.
Sure.
Sorry, can I share something real quick?
Yeah.
It's going fast. Real quick, okay, I'm sorry. I have to share on that, on the whole, God is doing something in this church, and I think very individually and very intimately. And I know it's a small group, but we're all like spiritually growing. Like I've grown so much, and I can tell you that. And as far as the distancing going, I went through a group home, a Christian rehab home for 2 years, and I distanced myself. I was in prayer at 5 o'clock in the morning. I was in Bible study every day. I went to church 3-4 days a week, and I managed to distance myself. You know, that's the distance that they're talking about. That's the danger. That's where the enemy came in, and it cost me another 10 years of addiction. So that's where the enemy came in. That's the distancing that they're talking about. Now, as far as our church growing, we are growing individually because I am clean now. I can testify to that. I can testify to that. And there's so many, our youth is growing. You could see the fire. You could see the love of God growing individually in us as a body. Even though we may be a small part, we are vital. We are, our prayers are heard. We're worshipers, you know, and it's God's going to take us in his timing, and he's going to, but like, I have to testify, man, like I have never been in love with God like I am now. And I went through 2 years of rehab and prayer, you know? So like, I just wanted to share that. That's it. I'm done.
And that's a good point. Now, only God knew that path that you had to walk. Even though that you make mention that you were in a group setting, and you distant yourself, because we do have free will beings. But the good thing is that even though that you were doing your thing, God still had his hand on you. Now, you would not be able to have that compassion to somebody else if you had not walked that path. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
So don't look at it as a negative. And this is, I think, where sometimes we may get caught up in a little snare or trap that this is how God's plan looks like instead of God, what is your plan?
Okay.
Ancha, thank you for sharing what you shared. It's really, really encouraging to hear that God is doing something among us. You know, that's what we're praying. And we're seeing God do amazing things with certain individuals within certain families, and there's restoration, the youth group, people are catching the flame. And so that's really, really encouraging. So I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah, and for the record, my son, Isaiah, you guys are the only youth group that he wants to go to. Like, he'll ask me to take him. And he doesn't do it that with no group.
Go, Pastor Mike.
And that's exactly, Kunsha, that's exactly what we were saying earlier today, that God is working in so many different areas. Even if we look at the growth or whatever it is that we call it as, oh, like, you know, that's taking forever, it's slow, we need it. No, God is working the way he wants to work. We're just here to obey. We're just here to do our part. We're just here to be ready. What you shared today, Kunsha, is something that's, I think, been on our hearts for so long. And, you know, thanks, but that's fine, because he saying it, and I trust it, and I believe in it 100,000,000% with all of my heart. But hearing someone else saying it, hearing you and you being brave of sharing that, you know, that made this meeting truly take another turn, you know, that I'm not just speaking to the air. Is that like a right, you know, thing to do? I'm not just saying that. It's not just me being excited about our church or about, not just our church, just about the work of God. But what you said just brings to reality the things we're saying, the things that we believe in, the things that we experienced in our lives. You know, you have no idea what my life looked like before. You know, you have no idea what we've been through. You have no idea the struggles we had as a family. You have no idea. But God keeps working. God keeps working, never stops working, you know. And we would look and sometimes and say, Lord, how come this area is not growing the way we want it to grow? Well, what we weren't seeing that we were growing in different areas. He was building foundations in different areas. And without those foundations, the whole building would have fallen. The whole life would have fallen. God keeps building foundation. And if he's building foundation on the Kunsha story, the Assam story, the this story and that story, this is the foundation that God wants. People who are truly trusting in his ability to work, in his ability to deliver, his ability to redeem, his ability to give that new life and that changed heart that he's looking for. That's what God is working in Arise. That's what God is doing in. That's what God wants to do in the church and in the believers in general. So thank you for sharing that. And I'm not sure how can we go back to the Bible study after what you shared, because anything else will be. But we'll try. So Nehemiah goes on to say, whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, I know you're far away from each other. I know there is separation. I know there could be distraction. I know there could be busyness. I know there could be so many things that you're doing. If you remember the message 2 weeks ago, the disciples were so busy doing the work of God, they missed the cross. They missed the message of the cross. They were so busy trying to heal and see who's the best and who's the greatest. And Jesus keeps telling them, I'm going to the cross, and they missed it. And a lot of times, separation and busyness and all of that can make us miss the word of God as well. So Nehemiah said, I know this could happen. So now I need your ears, not only your muscles, not only your eyes, not only your brains. Now I need your ears. I need you to hear and hear carefully. When you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. When you hear the sound of the trumpet, how do we get in tune with the sound of the trumpet and get connected with other believers? Pastor Albert.
I think there's a rallying cry of the Holy Spirit that is tugging on each of our hearts to do two things. Number one, get connected with Him in a very real and personal way. Number two, get connected with each other in a very real and personal way. And you know what? Both take intention. Both of them are done on purpose. Neither one is an accident. No one stumbles upon growing in their relationship with God. It doesn't happen by accident. It happens by being very intentional. Just like in anything in life that we do, if we succeed at it, it's because we have put effort and time and energy into it. It's done on purpose. And the same is going to be true when we connect with one another. It doesn't happen by accident. I have to be intentional in my willingness or in my initiating a conversation with people and connecting with people and not staying at the surface level where I don't share any of my heart, but I've got to be willing to be vulnerable in certain areas and say, look, here's what's going on. And there becomes this exchange, and it's a beautiful scene. And I was sharing earlier how sometimes a dad could be sitting at the table when dinner time comes and dinner is being served, and you call on the rest of the family and the kids, and you want the kids to come. And how do you want the kids to come? You want them to come hungry, and you want them to come with a good attitude. If they come hungry with a good attitude, that's going to be a great dinner. Why? Because there's food that's there. And if they come with a good attitude, it means that they're going to connect with everyone else sitting at the table. It's tough when you have a setting where you're eating food and people are angry with each other, and there's animosity and there's frustration and friction. It becomes a very tense kind of scene. So the sound of the trumpet is hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit saying, connect with me first. And as you do, I will help you in your connection with one another. And that is the rallying cry. He's saying, when you hear the trumpet, make that happen. Pay attention and be swift to respond to it. And I believe God has been prompting us on individual level and as a family unit and as a church to pay more attention and to become connected with God and with one another.
Amen.
Nice.
That's a real good point, Pastor, because I wasn't there Father's Day service. Something came up and we had this thing that just popped up automatically without us planning it. But anyway, the previous Sunday I was there, and one of the things that I enjoyed was coming up to somebody I didn't know and say, hi, my name is Larry. And then the people are reciprocative. You know, when one identifies themselves and you extend that hand of greeting, it's amazing how well it's received, because then they offer their hand, they offer their name. Does that make sense? And that's what's awesome, because little things that to us may not mean anything, who knows, maybe to that people that meant a lot.
Amen. Then when you hear the sound of the trumpet, I like this part about that the God will fight for us. Don't be scared. Don't be scared when you hear that voice from the Holy Spirit, because a lot of times when we hear like, oh no, I don't want to hear the Holy Spirit because I know he's going to correct me on something. I know he's going to tell me something. No, don't be scared. God will fight for us. God will send the help. God will send the support we need. God has this under control. Don't be scared. The sound of the trumpet is actually good for us. Don't run away from it, but actually come to it. And then he tells them, and then we, excuse me. And then, so we labored in the work, and half of the men held the spears from daybreak until the stars appeared. At the same time, I also said to the people, let each man and his servant stay at night in Jerusalem, and they may be our guards by night and working party by day. The work here is taking something at a completely different look. You know, the work usually are, the people are building, just building. That's it. And you go home and you rest and you wake up the next morning. But this is a special season. This is a special time that needs us to build during the day and to be guards during the night. You know, I think I've shared this with you guys many times before, but you know, as we all go to work, we pray, right? You pray before you get to work, you pray during work and all of that, right? Am I the only one or all of us do? Because we meet people and all of that. But I trained myself that I pray even more before I come home, before I enter the house. While I'm parking the car, I am praying. I am praying because, yeah, I've done my job. I did deal with clients and employees and traffic and all of that. That's the easy part of it. The hard part of it is to come home and be a husband and to be a father. You know, that's the important part. A lot of times we do that first part, whatever it is that we do, and we feel like this is it. But these people, because they have special calling, it's a special time, it's an important time, there is no time off. I'm gonna build during the day, and I'm gonna be a guard at night. I'm gonna be leading Bible study or sharing in Bible study or preaching on a Sunday. I'm going to lead the youth meeting, and I'm gonna do this, that's great. And I'm still going to be a great father, a great husband. I'm still going to bless my coworkers at work. There is no time off. Wherever you go, there is an opportunity to work. There is an opportunity to serve. So neither I, my brethren, my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me took off our clothes, except that everyone took them off for washing. Pastor Albert, can you take us through this, please?
So basically what this is saying to us is that we need to always be ready, always clothed with the righteousness that Christ put on us, and always having the armor of God and ready for the final trumpet when the Lord is gathering us together. And there is no downtime. There is no rest or vacation time. There is no retirement time when it comes to spiritual matters. Because if we're not progressing and building and moving forward, then we are regressing and moving backwards. And that is just the way of the kingdom. And there is no two ways about it. But I think you had an interesting point on this, Assam, about how they didn't take off their clothes except for the washing. What did you want to say on that?
The washing is very important. You know, being the washing, the renewing, the refreshing, this is something continuous that needs to happen. You know, not because we're working, not because we're believers, not we're, you know, excited about doing all the things that we're doing. We forget about the cleansing of our hearts, the cleansing of our souls. That has to happen. As believers, as, you know, people, we do collect a lot of dust from the world we live in. We collect a lot of things from the world we live in. I'm preparing a message because I'm marrying someone. No, like not me marrying someone. I'm already married. So there's a couple from my gym that I'm going to marry. I'm going to officiate their wedding. Yeah. There you go. Happy now? I'm not going to marry that couple. So yeah, I will marry the couple. I'm going to officiate a wedding. Okay. So one of the things that I have for them, and I noticed, you know the story in John 3 when Jesus was at that wedding? It's the first miracle. They freaked out when the wine ran over, right? And Jesus said what? He said, go to those six jars. Those six jars were empty. He said, fill them with water. those six jars are put there for washing, for cleansing. So before you come into that house, you need to be cleansed. So Jesus is very much telling them, if you want the wine, if you want the joy, if you want the celebration to continue, you must go back to what? To where? Go back to the washing, go back to the water, go back to the cleansing, go back to purity, go back to cleanness. You know, it's not an excuse. Working too much, doing so much, being a pastor, being an elder, being this, being that, it's not an excuse that we don't cleanse ourselves from the filth that this world is full of.
I think that's what Jesus was mentioning to the disciples when he girded himself and began to wash their feet. And Peter says, no, Lord, not I. He says, unless I wash your feet, you have no part with me. So what that speaks of is there is that I'm not able to have the level of intimacy with him unless I allow him to do the washing. And it's the washing of the feet, which is typically the dirtiest and filthiest and stinkiest part of who we are, and giving him access to it and letting him put his hands on it and doing the cleansing in that particular area. Because if he doesn't cleanse that, I can't really have that level of closeness with the Lord. And so we need to give him that freedom.
Amen. And I love that Nehemiah included himself in all of this. If you look at that part, who followed me took off our clothes, except that everyone took them off for everyone. He included himself in that cleansing. Yes, I'm ready. I'm always committed. I'm ready to go, but I'm not going to forget about the washing. It doesn't make you less of a Christian when you say, I need washing. It doesn't make you less of a believer when you confess your weaknesses before God and say, I need help in this area. I need you to wash me. There is so much dirt that we had growing up in our lives before Christ, in the way we were, our hearts were acting. There's so much there. The world that we live in, it's, we know what it is. You look at the billboards, you look at you hear the songs that are going out in the car next to you or whatever, and you see you need that washing. And I pray that we would have that courage and we wouldn't shy away, just like Peter wanted to, from Jesus washing us and cleansing us. Amen?
Amen.
That's all I have for today. Any questions, any comments? We have 4 minutes. Who's playing music? Who's playing piano?
Mine.
Oh, that's you?
Yes.
Okay, Tunsha.
Yes.
Hey, Beethoven.
Huh? Beautiful. It's nice.
It is beautiful.
It's got scriptures going too and everything. It's nice.
Good.
It's beautiful, Tunsha.
You should come over.
Yeah, plan.
She's talking to Dalia, obviously. She's not talking to you. You know, after what you shared today, Concha, I'm going to start saying goodnight, Concha, at the end of the meeting. You have been promoted. You have been promoted to the Dahlia position. So
oh, no.
you'll get a goodnight, Concha.
Oh, man.
I'm going to ask Dahlia to pray for us.
Yes.
We just want to honor you. We just want to say thank you. We just want to say how much we love you, God. And the more we know you, the more we love you, the more we want to honor you, the more we want to bless you, the more we want to know you. Thank you for just an opportunity to gather together as one body, Father, and giving us the word and allowing the word to replenish and allowing the word to grow inside of us and outside of us. God, we are broken vessels that are truly surrendered and yielded to you. We ask that you do what only you can do in our lives, Father. We want your will. We want your ways. We want your plan. We want your power to move mightily in and through us, Father. And we want a hunger unlike ever before, Father. We want to be hungry for you. We want to be desperate for you, God. And at the same time, we want you to meet us at that place of desperation. Open our eyes, just like we prayed earlier, Father, that you give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of who Jesus is, our Lord and our Savior. Cause us to love you all over again and to love you every day more than the day before, Father. As we yield and we give ourselves to you, would you use us for the glory of your name? I pray your covering and your protection upon each and every one in this room tonight, Father God, that you meet each and every one at their point of need, that you would reveal your love and your ways to them and guide their every step closer to you day by day. God, our hearts are longing for more. Thank you because you're not distant from us, that you are a God who's closer than the very breath that we take. We welcome you into our lives, in the center of our lives, that you make yourself real, that you make yourself known to us. Take us by the hand, Jesus, and guide us every step of the way. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, everyone.